Turn with me, please. Now, the Lord has had me kind of bouncing around today, so I don't know where we're going to end up, but we're going to start with Isaiah 45, and I'm going to get us started in a word of prayer. I want to thank you, Father, for bringing us together tonight. I thank you for every single intercessor that's on this line. I want to thank you for every person who stands in the gap for this country. I want to thank you, Father God, for every person that is seeking righteousness before you. I want to thank you, Father God, that there is every person that's on this line understands the need for the children of God to rise up and take their place, for the child of God to press into a place of righteousness before you. I thank you, Father God, that they have not grown weary, but they are pressing in. And for those that do grow weary, Lord God, we pray for grace and strength to come upon them, and that they would rise up and engage in the fight that lays before us. We thank you that we have the privilege and the honor to stand in the gap for our country. We thank you, Father God, that when the enemy strives to bring darkness upon a nation, we stand in the gap as vessels of light, bringing forth the living word into our nation, releasing it into our nation. And Lord God, even Joel's army, the power and the strength behind the army of God going down into the tectonic plates, like that vision that you showed Mom, down into the tectonic plates to bring stability to the nation. I thank you, Father God, that you are raising up your intercessors to do just that in this hour. And we are seeing the beauty and the power of that coming forth each and every day. I thank you, Father God. Lord, as we study your word tonight, I pray that you would settle things around us, Lord, that distractions would just fall to the wayside, and you would ignite us to receive the word you have for us tonight. There is something brewing in the Spirit, Lord. Something simmering and being prepared for us, that we might step into the place you have created us to walk in. You are preparing your children. Ignite within us, Lord God, the fire and the drive to press in and receive what you have for us. I thank you, Father God, for your word. I thank you for your word. In your precious and most holy name, amen. Isaiah 45. Now, this scripture, since Donald Trump started running for office, has been used over him. And in spite of what you might think, I'm not actually going to talk about him tonight, although I do encourage you to keep him in your prayers, as we have been instructed by the Word of God, as Paul wrote to Timothy, pray for your leaders, that it may go well with you. And, you know, I have Gavin Newsom as my governor, and I pray for him, so, and hoping it will go well with us. So, but as I was going over this chapter, and I was actually going to speak on this chapter last week, and the Lord took me in a different direction. Because the church right now, in this hour, God is trying to reignite his church. He is refining the church. He is redefining the church. A couple years ago, the Lord told me that it would be a year of refining, to raise up a new breed of believers. Before that, it was that we would know no bounds. He was trying to teach us, prepare us to be warriors in the kingdom, to not settle for what comes at us, but to begin to fight for righteousness. He was doing a deep work in his intercessors, a deep work in his children, preparing a new breed of believers, those that would stand in the gap, that would go the test of time, those that would go the distance to fight for righteousness. a new breed of believers that he could be used, that could be used by him for his glory. Vessels of light to be used in the end times. This is what he's preparing. So this year, when he said he's redefining the church, I said, oh, so what does that mean, Lord? And I've given some pretty firm messages on this year. The things that the Lord has shown me about the church, it's a very sad state that the church is in. And it is a dark time for the church. But the Lord is pulling his people out of the darkness that the church is in right now. He's pulling his new breed of believers out of the darkness that is the church. If you go and interview a bunch of kids at a college, ask them if they go to church, what is their response going to be? No. Why not? They're a bunch of hypocrites. Well, I used to go to church, you know, when I was a kid. But, I don't know, not anymore. The church? Oh, no. I see the people that come out of there. I see what's in there. They're just a bunch of fakers. That's the image that's been given of the church to this next generation. And that is a grievous thing in the heart of God. Not only is it an image that they have received, but the reality of it is, as the Lord showed me a few months ago, and I did a message on this, that the church has sealed itself off to the Spirit of the Lord. And it's a grievous, grievous thing before the Father. A grievous, grievous thing before the Father. And the Lord told me that this year would be a time where judgment would come to the house of God because of the corruption, because of the hypocrisy, because the church hasn't risen up and stood with the righteousness that God is trying to bring in our country. And instead of praying for their leaders, they're attacking their leaders or aligning themselves with people that do not have God's best in mind. They align themselves with people that support abortion. And if you're supporting a politician that supports abortion, you have not aligned yourself with God's plan for anything. So the Lord said, this year, judgment is coming. And I have watched as the cover has come off and their darkness is being exposed. And it's been a very painful thing. We have these big pastors or so-called pastors in their mega churches doing their little pep talks on Sundays, not speaking truth, aligning themselves with people like Lady Gaga, who is a witch, by the way. And they will continue on the path they are. People can expose them, but they'll continue on that path. But what's happening is the true church of God. What is the church? And I've talked about this before. The church, it's those that God has called out of the world and up to himself. That's the church. Those, it's not a building. Even if you have a house church, it's not a house church. It's those that have been called out of the world and up to God. So if we are called out of the world and up to God, what does that mean? We die? Well, not right away, you know, not right away. We're called out of the darkness that is this world. We're called out of the ways of the world. Last week I talked about the Ten Commandments. and I read off the Ten Commandments. And the reality of it is, we've forgotten the very simple law that God has given us to guide us. The law that with the birth, the death, and the resurrection of His Son, and the release of the Holy Spirit into our lives, was written upon our hearts. The seriousness of that. Jesus summed up the law in two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's fulfilling the law. And you say, well, you know, when Jesus came, He fulfilled the law. So it just kind of closed the chapter on the Old Testament. There's a lot of people that don't even read the Old Testament because they figure it just doesn't matter anymore. But the reality of it is, the Old Testament gives us guidelines for our lives. We learn from the mistakes of the Old Testament. We learn from the mistakes of the kings. We learn from the mistakes of those that went before us. And we see why we needed the Savior to come. We see what it meant when the covenant was made between Abraham and God, and how that covenant was passed down through His people. And truly what that covenant was the promise of the Son of Jesus. And when He came, His word was stamped upon our heart. And we love to love Him. We love to do the pleasantries of being a Christian. We love that, right? We love to go and have our fellowship. We love to have our Bible studies with our tea and our snacks. Love those snacks. Gotta love those snacks. We love to go to the hospital and to pray for the sick. We love the pleasantries. We love the Sunday school with the children. We love the pleasantries of our faith. We love to love the pleasantries of our faith. But somewhere along the line, we became so familiar with our Creator that we forgot He was our Creator. We forgot the holiness He calls us to. We forgot the righteousness that He is calling us to. We forgot to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, our minds, and our souls, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that doesn't mean taking them cookies when they move in. That means we don't lie. We don't steal. We don't covet our neighbor's wife. We don't commit adultery. We forget about the rules He set before us. Why did we forget it? Because the enemy wants us to forget that. The enemy wants to water down our faith. Because he knows the power that the body of Christ will walk in if they rise up in the fullness of their faith. He's called us to intimacy, but the only way to get to intimacy is to walk in a path of righteousness. How do we walk in a path of righteousness? We obey the Lord God Almighty. We raise up a standard of righteousness. Isaiah 45 is about Cyrus paving the way for Israel to take her place. Cyrus wasn't even a Jew. It wasn't even a believer, but was compelled by the Lord God to allow Israel to take her place and to rebuild. The season that we're in right now, this chapter is about raising a standard of righteousness and the church taking her place. Not the buildings, but those that are called up out of the world and up to God. out of the world and up to God. Those that hunger and thirst for his righteousness. What is righteousness? Right standing with God. Right standing with God. He's calling us to raise up a standard of righteousness. I shared this before when Trump was elected, and this is not about Trump, but I'm telling you, this is what God was showing. When Trump was elected, I saw him in the center of the country, and he was pulling a chain up and pulling and pulling and pulling, and I'm not going to belabor this, but until he lifted up this pole and he locked it in place, he raised, with his efforts, he raised up, because the center of the country was in a pit, he raised it up about 10 or 12 feet up above where it was. And he put he put the pole in, and it locked it in place. And the Lord said, I put him here to raise up a standard of righteousness. And he's done many things to allow that to take place. But God didn't create him, and he didn't put him in office to be our pastor. He put him in office to pave the way for us to be the standard of righteousness, to free the strongholds that are upon the church, to free us from those strongholds so that the church can come up and be the government of God in the earth. The church had been effectively silenced over the last 60 years. Effectively silenced. We were lulled like a frog in a pot of water on a hot stove, slowly cooking to death. Didn't even know it. They don't jump out of it. I used to traumatize me when people would tell me that story, so if you're traumatized, please forgive me. But we've got to wake up. He's been put in office to break the strongholds off the church, because we are called to release the government of God in the earth. We are the ones that are supposed to be the standard of righteousness. We are the ones that are to walk in righteousness and declare the word of the Lord across our borders, across our boundaries. We are the ones that have been created to fight the principalities. We are the ones that should be getting in the faces of those that would try to kill the unborn. We are the ones that have been called to a place of obedience and righteousness. We are not supposed to be sheep led to the slaughter right now. We are supposed to be warriors. We don't follow blindly. We are the leaders following Christ. That's the call. That's the commission. We have forgotten. We are the government of God in the earth. The Matthew 28 commission is the government of God. That's our calling. That's the fire he wants to ignite in us. We can't get that fire when we're living in sin. We can't get that fire when we don't walk in obedience to him. We can lose the promises of God if we don't walk in obedience to him. Do you know that? Consider the Israelites. Consider the Israelites. God promised them, right? Covenant, Abraham. God told them they'd be enslaved for 400 years. 400 years to the day, boop, here's your deliverer. Out you go. God promised to take them to the promised land. He promised it to the people, his people, the lineage of Abraham. He promised them. But when they began to walk in sin, we saw judgment come down on them. When Moses was on the mountain and the people were at the bottom and they were getting all their gold and out popped a calf, the fire of God came down on that nation. were it not for Moses falling on his face before God. We don't know how many would have lost their lives. More than once, God told Moses, these are a stiff-necked people. Let me wipe them out, and I'll start a new nation with you. That's quite the responsibility. No. Lord, what will the people say? You delivered your people from Egypt to consume them in the desert? He fought for them. He fought for righteousness to be released in them. Give them time, Lord, because they have come out of Egypt bringing the stain and the soil from Egypt with them. When the people murmured, when they made it all the way to the border of the land of milk and honey, and the spies went out, and they came back with a vine of grapes that took two men to carry. Oh, they're giants. We can't do anything there. Yep, nope, that's scary. What happened? What the spies did provoked doubt in the hearts of the people. Judgment came on the spies. And what happened to the people of Israel? You wretched, stiff-necked people. Why don't you trust me? I saved you. They had just seen the nation of the warriors of Egypt be swallowed up in the Red Sea after it took all night for God to pull back the waters to dry the soil so they could walk across it. And they just witnessed every single warrior from Egypt be consumed in the Red Sea. Well, God's not going to help us defeat these guys. Where's the doubt? Why do we listen to man when they create doubt in our hearts about promises that God has given us? He is creating a new breed of believers ready to release a standard of righteousness in the nation, ready to stand on the promises of God, ready to not let man shake them, but to let God define them. Man is not supposed to define us. God is supposed to define us. He is our creator. That's what Isaiah is saying in Isaiah 45. Verse 5, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open up, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. The righteousness that he is talking about, God is releasing in the earth right now. The salvation. You want your loved ones to get saved, and the enemy has us so afraid of talking to our loved ones. Oh, if revival comes, they'll get saved. They need to see the standard of righteousness rising up in us now. A hunger and a thirst for God in us now. Just as we honor the Creator. Because when the revival comes, it's coming to a people that have prepared themselves, that have allowed themselves to be redefined as children of God, those that are called out of the world and up to God. Righteousness. Well, I can't really have righteousness, you know. I mean, we won't truly have righteousness till we get to heaven, right? Is that right? Or did the blood of Christ purchase our righteousness? The enemy has watered down our faith, and we have forgotten we're warriors. We have forgotten because he has watered down the messages of pastors for the last century. Why? To put the people of God to sleep. so he could douse the light. But what is mom? What are the messages she gave? Light. Light. We are vessels of light. Vessels of light. We are being prepared to contain the light of the living God. Those that contain the light are fearless. They release the government of God in the earth. They take the commission of Matthew 28 so seriously. They would not fail in that commission. The fight that we're in is to work out the things in us that are not of God. Why? So that God, the things of God, righteousness, holiness, perseverance, self-control, the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, all of that can be deposited within us. That's what he's doing right now. And we can't just sit in our pew and expect a pastor who hasn't even been trained up in it himself to give that to us. We've got to go deep in God. We've got to go deep in his word. Ask him to open up his word to you. Ask him to unveil the scriptures to you. Ask him to show you how to live a life truly of righteousness. To live a life of righteousness, called out of the world and up to God. Out of the world and up to God. The pastors of the past. David Wilkerson. His messages will break your heart as your heart begins to be ignited with a passion for the message he's giving. Ignited, craving holiness, craving the righteousness of God. The more of the righteousness of God that dwells in your life, the greater the warrior you are. The more righteousness of God, that's not self-righteousness, that's the righteousness of God being raised up within you, the greater the warrior you are. Warriors, fight for justice. We are in a time right now where the way is being paved. It's being laid out for us to demand righteousness, to demand the rule of law, to demand godly government in the earth. People say, oh, well, no, there's a whole separation of church and state. That's a fallacy. And let me tell you why. That has kept the church silent while they took Bible out of our schools, while they took prayer out of our schools, and while they signed off on abortion. Do you know in the 1800s, scientists said life begins at conception? They determined it in the 1800s. It took them 100 years to pull that information out of people's heads and to say it's a blob of tissue, you should be able to abort it, it's your right to choose. 100 years. Almost to the day, 98 years. They went from life begins at conception to it's a blob of tissue until the moment you give birth, it's your right to choose what to do with that blob of tissue. It's like a tumor. You can remove it. as violently as you please. Where was the church? We didn't think we should speak into government. We didn't think that we should speak into government. When a government is making laws in a land that you live in, you declare the word of the Lord. You declare righteousness in the nation. And you go to the throne of God. Because you have been refined, you have been prepared, and you are a warrior of God, and you can grab hold of the horns of the altar and plead with the Father to intervene, and He will hear your prayers. That's what happens. But the enemy said, I got a plan for this nation, and I'm going to douse this light, because this light is powerful. I can't let it go on. He raised up men and women of righteousness in government. Do you know that when they were looking during the Civil War and they were looking to abolish slavery, and all the politicians were debating it, wait, that's our labor. We can't just rid our country of our labor. And the other politicians are saying, oh, that's wrong. Well, maybe we could do this graduated thing. And they were going back and forth and back and forth. And President Lincoln stood up and he slammed his hands down on his desk. And he, the most powerful man on the planet, said, absolutely not. And he signed an executive order abolishing slavery. He took the power out of the hands. Why? Because people prayed that that man would make a righteous decision, that the blood shed on this soil to fight against slavery would have purpose. And he had the power given to him by the Constitution to make that decision. You can argue all you want, I'm making the decision. Because it's what's right before God. That's the government of God being released in the earth. Do you see the picture there? That's the government of God being released in the earth. And the enemy said, oh, we can't have this. We can't have this. This nation is going to get powerful. Why? Not because of wealth. Not because of man, but because the church was functioning as the government of God in the earth. And so we began to release doctrines, watered down doctrine, silencing the church legally and using the pastors to deaden our senses and lull us to sleep until 45. He came to break the chains off the church. It's up to the church to step up and be the righteousness in the earth. Be the standard of righteousness. Be the plumb line of God. God sent Moses to deliver the people. To deliver the people out of slavery. And they believed the lie of the spies. And they had to wander around in the desert for 40 years while that generation was set aside. When they died off, the new generation was there. And that's the generation that went into the promised land. Are we going to be the generation that takes this nation into the place she was created to be? A nation where the rule of law reigns. What is the rule of law? It's a standard of righteousness. It's abiding by the laws of the land. It's a standard of righteousness. Are we going to be the nation, the generation that abolishes abortion, that abolishes slavery? And by slavery, I mean human trafficking. Is that our generation? Are we going to rise up in this season of grace that God has given us to take a stand and be the standard of righteousness? Are we going to be the generation that goes into the promised land where this nation can truly be a light unto all the nations and release the word of God into all the nations? We are called to be a beacon of light. A beacon of light. When the darkness settles in and begins to swallow up the earth, we are the beacon of light. We stand under the protection of the Father because of our alliance with Israel, because it's His promise, people. That was His promise. Any nation that would stand with Israel, I will stand with you. We already have the favor of God because of that. But because the principles, because the Constitution that we are established on paves the path for righteousness, my friends. We have been called to so much more. We have been called to be a beacon of light unto all the earth. And right now, we have the grace, we have the favor, we have the leadership in our country. He may seem like he's standing up there alone, but I'm telling you, he's our ally. And he will fight for us. Will we fight for him? Will we end the brutal murder of the unborn? Will we abolish slavery? Will we stand up like Lincoln said and say, enough? I am declaring an executive order and abolishing slavery. No more will you toy with the lives of humans. I will be the standard of righteousness in this country, even if I stand alone. Will we do the same? Will we be the generation that releases righteousness? The heavens open up and righteousness pours down upon this land. Will the people prepare themselves, be ignited, prepare their hearts? Will we press in? Will we allow the refining to come through? Not just individually, but come through our own churches. That the church can rise up and be the standard of righteousness in our country and release the government of God. That's what we're called to do. That's what redefining the church is. Being the government of God in the nation and ultimately the earth. Heavenly Father, ignite us. Ignite us to go deeper in you. Ignite us to grab hold of the horns of the altar and fight for righteousness to be released in the earth. Ignite us. Wake us up to the reality of what we've been living in. Don't let us come all the way to the promised land, Lord, and not gain entrance because of our sin. Moses and Aaron didn't speak to the rock. They struck the rock. And what happened? They didn't make it into the promised land because they disobeyed you. 40 years earlier, the people grumbled. They didn't go into the promised land. Why? Because they grumbled against you who had given and delivered them mightily. from those who enslaved them. Let us be the generation, O God, that fights for your righteousness, that fights, that hungers and thirsts for righteousness, that embraces the love of Christ, of being a Christian, that embraces the intimacy, that engages in the warrior side of our faith. It's been stripped of us, Lord. Reignite it, impart it, deposit it, whatever needs to be done in us, O God, that we might take this nation over into the promises that you have for her. Do this for us, O God. Do this for us, O God. The corruption in the church will begin to fall away if your people will rise up. The assault on our children will begin to fade if your people will rise up. If our prayer points will be resolved, if your people will rise up, O God. Ignite us. Ignite us. Let us see the significance of the hour. And ignite us, O God. Thank you, Lord. In your precious name. Amen.